Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Moving through Ephesians, if you would be finding Ephesians chapter 3, we're in the last two verses this morning of Ephesians chapter 3. And what, my goodness, what a prayer this is in Ephesians chapter 3. Maybe the greatest prayer in the Bible. But I want to tell you, beyond any doubt, I am sold out and totally get it. I believe that the benediction in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 3 is the greatest benediction in all of the Word of God for any prayer that I've ever heard. I believe it's that way. So having said that, now last week, let me just kind of, you know, set the table here. You remember last week we talked about the humility of prayer and that verse that we claim that verse that said we bow our knees. And then we talked about the heart of prayer last week, of this great prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed. And we discovered that the heart of this prayer was that we would be strengthened with might through His Spirit, that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we might be able to comprehend the love of Christ, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That was the heart of this prayer. But this morning, if it's all right, I want to just talk for a little while about the hallelujah of prayer. I've been reading this all week. I know, I get it. Y'all got to catch up. But man, this is one of the greatest benedictions to prayer I've ever heard. And it's almost like Paul's searching for the greatest words that he knows to describe the greatness and the vastness of God's power. We're going to just break this prayer down today, word by word. Let's stand as we honor God's word in verses 20, Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. And you, those of you that are online, follow along with us as I read. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Somebody say amen. Amen. And to Him be glory in the church. That's what I've named the sermon series right here. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And then the Apostle Paul says what? Amen. Amen. All right. Father, I ask God that somehow, some way that You would be glorified this morning in the preaching of Your word. That somehow, some way that the saints of God might be edified and built up in the word of God this morning. And we pray that old Satan, that sinister minister of fear and doubt, might be horrified at what Your word says this morning. We pray it all in the matchless name of our Savior. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Thank you. God bless you for honoring God's word this morning. First thing I want to say about this passage of Scripture is that we have an inexhaustible power in God. We have an inexhaustible power in God. That's what he's talking about there in verse 20. He says, now unto Him who is able. Y'all do know that there isn't anything that God cannot do. He can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. His power is inexhaustible, it's unlimited, it's unparalleled, it's unequaled. We have that kind of power in our great God this morning. There's a lot of different verses that describe how our God is able to do anything and everything. Daniel 3:17 tells us that our God is able to deliver us from danger. Say amen. Matthew 3 and verse 9 tells us that our God is able to raise up children of Abraham even from rocks and stones. Our God is able. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, this helps me this morning, says that our God is able to deliver us from temptation. John chapter 10 and verse 29 tells us that our God is able to keep us in His grace. Aren't you thankful for that? No one is able to snatch us out of the Father's hand. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says that our God is able to keep us secure in His grace. Hebrews 7:25 tells us that our God is able to save anyone and everyone. To the uttermost, God can save. And then Jude 24 tells us that our God is able to keep us from stumbling. How many of you fell this week? All right. Our God is able to keep us from stumbling. He is able to do anything. His power is omnipotent. He's all powerful. I'm so thankful we serve a God like that. Now unto Him who is able. And He's able to do all that we ask. What are you asking God for these days? What are you asking God for? Are you asking for peace in the midst of some storm that you're in? Are you asking for God to heal some family member, or for God to maybe deliver a friend of yours from this virus? Maybe you're asking God to give you a good job or a better job or a new job or just a job. I'm here to tell you, God is able to do everything that we ask. Maybe some of you are praying, maybe you've got a big decision to make and you're praying for God's ability to give you wisdom. He can do that. Maybe you're praying for God to bless you in some type of ministry and He's able to do that. How many of you could testify that God is able to do anything that we ask? Amen? And let me, having said that, let me say that God's not only able to do anything that we ask, He's able to do anything that we even think about. Think about. Whew. We often have thoughts, you know, that we don't share with other people because we'll think if they find out, they'll think I'm what? Yeah. But you know what? I think some of you are probably here this morning and you're having thoughts of secret longings and yearnings, secret ambitions and desires. I don't know what you're thinking about this morning. Maybe you've got unspeakable prayers for happiness and holiness. Maybe you've got unspeakable prayers for love and contentment and fulfillment. I've come here today to tell you that God can do anything that you even think about. Look at your neighbor and say, what you thinking about? Don't answer that. God is able to do anything that we ask or think. That's what He's saying to us. And aren't you glad that God has not restricted our requests in some way? We can ask or think about anything in our prayer life. And God can deliver anything that we need for Him to deliver. He is a great big God. God is unlimited. He's not small. He's huge. And there's no one even in second place. Let's give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. And then, as if that wasn't enough, the Holy Spirit prompts Paul to say, He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. God can take our requests and our thoughts to another place and go far beyond what we've thought about or even what we've asked for. I've got a fairly big vision and a big dream, and God laid it on my heart before we even moved back home. Does anybody know what that vision is? I've been praying that God would save Clarksville. That God would save Clarksville. And some of you are thinking, Cal, you are crazy. Nobody could do that. Well, God can. That's my vision, that God would save Clarksville and Montgomery County by His power and His might. He can do that. He's done it before. You go read that Old Testament story about Nineveh through the old backslidden. God can even save an entire city through a backslidden preacher. He can do anything. And so that's a big vision. Your pastor has a big vision for this town, for this city. And you know why it's so big? Because I have a big God. And He can do anything above what I'm even asking for. And you know what? I personally believe that God is blessed by the size of our prayers. You understand what I'm saying there? I think it blesses God by the largeness of our requests. By asking God to do something only He can do. Because when we ask God to do something that only He can do and He does it, who gets the credit for it? God does. That's right. So I think that blesses Him when we pray great big prayers. And that's what Paul's been praying for here in Ephesians chapter 3. He had asked God to send him to Rome so that he could get the gospel to Caesar even. And you know what God did? God sent Paul to Rome as a prisoner. As a prisoner. And do you remember what Paul wrote while he was in prison? While he was awaiting to be transferred for the trial of treason against Caesar, while he's been waiting to be shipped up to Rome. You remember what he wrote? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. The prison epistles. And just think about those Roman guards, those palace guards that Paul was chained to. Don't you think they heard more than they wanted to hear about Jesus? I guarantee you. And so God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. How does God do all of that? I'm so glad y'all asked. Did you catch that? That last part of verse 20? According to the power that works where? In us. The strongest power that energizes the entire universe is in you. If you're a believer, y'all believe that?
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Wake up and recognize the power that you have. You have the power of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in you. He resides in you. That same power that got Jesus up from the grave resides in you. You've got resurrection power. You've got the power to overcome. You've got the power to become. You've got power, wonder-working power. Tell somebody, I've got the power. Oh, my. According to the power that works within us. Now, isn't that great? We not only have the love of Christ in us that's beyond measurement, we have the power of God in us that's beyond human comprehension. The word for power and that he's using here in energy means unequaled, unlimited power. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have this kind of power that you're talking about. And you know what? You're not by yourself. Because I think the vast majority of Christians they have this power in them, but they're not applying that power. They're not in tune and in touch with that power. This was illustrated to me several years ago. I've only had one brand new vehicle in my married life. And I had just bought a brand new truck. And after I had that truck for about a year or so, one day I came out in the church parking lot, put my key in the ignition, and it wouldn't start. Now, Scott would tell you that's because it was a Dodge, but it wouldn't start. And I'm like, this is a brand new truck. It's only a year old, you know. So I threw the hood up and started looking under the hood as if that was actually going to get anything done. And then about that time, a church member who just happened to be one of these shade tree mechanics drove up. He saw the hood up on my, he said, Pastor, what can I do? He said, what's the matter? I said, I don't know. Truck won't start. He said, you're kidding. So he tried to jump it off. Nothing happened. We cleaned the battery cables and tightened those up. Went back in, turned the key. Nothing happened. He got up underneath the truck and began to bang on the starter and everything else. Still wouldn't start. And so I called a tow truck and we hauled that thing down to the south end of the county to a real mechanic. And he called me the next morning. He said, I found the trouble. He said, there is a little tiny wire that runs from the ignition and all the way up into the steering wheel, and that little wire has been cut in half. And I thought, wow. And he said, it's not going to help to turn that ignition until we reconnect that. You know where I'm going with this? Y'all get where I'm going? There's a lot of Christians today, many believers, because of unbelief, unconfessed, unrepented sin and prayerlessness that's causing us to disconnect with the power of God in our life. You deal with those three or four things, and I'll guarantee you, you will begin to have more power than you ever realized in your life. You'll be like that, you know, I've mentioned the old Energizer Bunny to you many times. You'll be like that Energizer Bunny. You'll have the power to do what God's calling you to do. Y'all, you would have had to pay $250 to go to a seminar to get that kind of power. And God gave it to you for free right here this morning. Give Him some praise. Hallelujah. So, and by the way, a Christian, any believer, and this is a bold statement, without that power is not only fruitless, but useless. You remember what Jesus said in John 15:5? Without me, you can do nothing. But what does Philippians 4:13 say? With Him, all things are possible. So there's the choice. If you've got something going on in your life today, there may be a disconnect that's causing the lack of power to live the Christian life. Let me tell you, my strength, my power is useless to live the Christian life. I've got to be plugged into the power source, and you do too. And so we have an inexhaustible power source in the Lord this morning. But secondly, he says we have an inescapable purpose in God. In verse 21 there, well, you know, why does God share this power with us? Why do we have the strongest power in the universe in us? Why do we have that? One reason and one reason only. Did you know that God has an overriding purpose in our being here this morning? God has an overall overriding purpose in bringing you into this world. Do you know what that purpose is? He tells us plainly, to Him be glory in the church. To Him be glory. God does everything for His glory. Everything. And our supreme purpose in life is to glorify God. Man, how many of us get sidetracked and out of focus? Don't we? But our purpose is to glorify, magnify, exalt, lift Him up in everything. And we're to glorify Him personally. We're to glorify Him personally. Now unto Him, did you give the glory for your life to God yesterday? Did God get any glory out of your life personally? Did you do anything yesterday? Did you pray anything yesterday? Did you say anything yesterday? Did you sing anything? Did your actions glorify God yesterday? To give glory to anyone and anything other than God is idolatry. God desires our worship, and He's worthy of our worship, is He not? And so we're to give God glory personally. We're to give God publicly. We're to give Him glory where? Tells us. In the church. Who is the church? 804 South Riverside Drive? No. Church is not the building. The church is us. We are the set apart, called out ones. And we're to give Him glory publicly. This morning, that's why we're here. We're to give Him glory through our singing, through our worship time. We're to give Him glory through our giving, through our tithes, and through our offerings. We're to give Him glory in our preaching, in our teaching. We're to give God glory every step of every day. We're to give Him glory publicly. And by the way, God ought to get some glory. We ought to open our mouths every day somewhere and give Him glory. It's not enough just to live a good life. Folks need to know why you live a good life. You know, somebody said, in order to share the gospel, you got to get verbal with somebody. We got to open our mouths and give God praise. And it may not be anything other than being out to eat. And you just bow your head. Do you know how blessed I am to be sitting in a restaurant and see other couples and other families bow their heads and thank God for the food that He's given them? God doesn't have to give us all this food. And yet He's given us so much food, what do we have to do? We throw it away day in and day out. He gives us more than enough. And so everything we do, we're to glorify God personally and publicly. Don't you be ashamed of God. Don't you be, hey, that's what the devil wants, right? You go public with the Lord. You know, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Remember, you've got the strongest power in the universe with you. You can do anything you need to do. Somebody say, wow. And then we're to give Him glory perpetually. And by the way, why are we doing all this stuff out at Kenwood? Yeah, to bring God glory. And the greatest thing, in my opinion, that happens that gives God great glory is when He changes an old hell-bound sinner and gives them a brand spanking new heart. That brings God glory, doesn't it? That's why we're going out to Kenwood. That's why we're doing ministry out there. We're going to continue to do ministry right here. But we're going to do ministry out there as well. And back to that dream and that vision that God laid on my heart, I was thinking, you know, Lord, maybe by the third year of our existence, we can actually think about going out and reproducing ourselves elsewhere in the county. Well, last June, Kenwood called. Last June. And now here we are, 2 years and 4 months. We're about to get ready to replant another church. Isn't God good? Whew, my. And so our lives are to glorify God personally and publicly, and then finally perpetually, to all generations, forever and forever. Did you know that all of heaven is glorifying God this morning? Do you know what the chant of the cherubim are this morning in heaven? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Do you know what the last words in the Hebrew hymn book that the psalmist said and wrote? Do you know what it said? Praise the Lord. Those are the last words in the book of Psalms, which means what? Hallelujah. Pray, every time you say hallelujah, you're saying praise the Lord. That's what that word means. And I want to tell you, for all of eternity, down through the ages, we're going to get to sing "To God Be the Glory." Great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin and open the life gate, hallelujah, that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. We're going to get to sing that for all of eternity. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. No wonder Paul shouted, amen. Pray with me. Lord, we've come here to just give you praise this morning. We've come here to just share with you what we think about you. Through song, through testimony, through giving, you have been far better to me than I ever deserve. And God, I want to give you praise with my last dying breath. I can't do enough for you because you've done so much for me. Lord, thank you for the power that's available. Forgive me from time to time in my life when I've been disconnected from that power because of stuff in my life. And Lord, right now I pray you'd clean us up. God, that we would remove any idols, that we would confess and repent of any sin, and that we would become a people of prayer so that we might be filled by your Spirit with this energizing power in order for us to bring you glory. Lord, revival needs to take place at Second Mile Church. It really does. We get complacent. We get apathetic. But today, this morning, can be a season of revival, and it's got to begin with each one of us individually. We can't give revival away to anybody. It's got to come from inside us, from you. And certainly, Lord, if there is one here today that is not in relationship with you, oh God, may this be the day of salvation. And I ask God that if that's the case for someone here, that they might, right where they sit, would just pray a simple prayer like this. Father, please forgive me of my sin. They are ever before you. I have broken your commandments. I have not lived up to your standards. But I believe that your Son came to this earth 2,000 years ago and paid the price for all of my sin. And today, I receive it by faith. And I crown you Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me here today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.